My dearly beloved in Christ, there are different names, different titles that we give to Mary, the mother of Jesus. We call her the Blessed Virgin Mary. We refer to her as Our Lady, but perhaps the dearest title is Our Blessed Mother, reminding us that she is our mother. And so on this Mother's Day, I would like to speak about our spiritual mother, because you know that when our Lord was dying on the cross, he looked down and saw his mother and Saint John, the disciple. And he said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." And to Saint John, "Behold thy mother." Now he was providing for his mother, that John, the beloved disciple, would take care of her. But more than that, according to all the fathers of the church, he was giving her to us, to all mankind, as a spiritual mother. And at that moment, as she stood there at the foot of the cross, he filled her heart with a great love and compassion for the members of the mystical body for whom he was shedding his blood on the cross. And ever since then, she has been a tender, loving mother for all Christians, for all mankind. We see this, of course, at Fatima, at Lourdes, at Our Lady of Guadalupe, La Salette, all the different apparitions of Our Lady, and so many lesser known stories that you can read in books like The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus, how Our Lady has solicitously cared for her children. About 10 days ago, I received a letter in the mail, and it's from California Men's Colony State Prison. This is interesting. From an inmate named Sean. And he wrote to the parish here, quoting from the Old Testament, and it's very short, but the gist of it is that we have a false devotion to Our Lady, that he uses the word idol, like we are violating the first commandment, that we place Our Lady in the place of God, that we treat her like an idol. And I want to write back, when I can find the time, to write back to this poor man to point out to him that our devotion to Our Lady is entirely biblical. You know how criminals who are convicted of crime and spend time in prison gives them a lot of time to think. And they're down and out, and they often return or turn to Almighty God, turn to religion, and oftentimes read the Bible, etc. But sadly, so many, like this man, adopt a Protestant mentality that our devotion to Mary somehow takes something away from Jesus, and therefore is wrong, is dangerous. Nothing could be further from the truth. Again, as I said, our devotion to Mary is entirely biblical. We can go back to the first book of the Bible. In chapter 3, verse 15 of Genesis, God cursed the serpent, and he said, "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed, and she shall crush thy head." Now, he could not be referring to Eve, because she does not crush the head of the devil. In fact, she was conquered by him, but rather a woman to come who would crush his head. And this was part of God's prophecy, prediction, promise that he would send a redeemer to repair the harm caused by Adam and Eve by their sin. And then we move on to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, in which Isaiah says, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." Now, St. Matthew, in the very first chapter of his gospel, quotes that verse of Isaiah, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son," and I'd like to read the whole section. He's talking about how Joseph came to understand after the Annunciation that Mary was pregnant and was very troubled by this. Now, the origin of Christ was in this wise. When Mary, his mother, had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wishing to expose her to reproach, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Do not be afraid, Joseph, son of David, to take to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then Matthew goes on, Now all this came to pass, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. Now we move on to the Gospel of St. Luke. And we see in the very first chapter of St. Luke the story of the Annunciation. The angel Gabriel, sent by God to our Blessed Mother. And what are his first words to her when he appeared before her? Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. What wonderful words of praise, full of grace, and the Lord is with thee, and thou art blessed among all women. And Mary was troubled at these words, and then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High, etc., etc. So do not be afraid, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. We know that Mary was conceived without stain of original sin. She was always sinless. The angel said she was full of grace. Now, the angel also told Our Lady that her cousin Elizabeth was with child. Now, Elizabeth was elderly. She had been barren, had no children. And the angel said that she had conceived a child because, said the angel, no word shall be impossible with God. Now, Our Lady, knowing that her cousin was elderly and would need help, went in her charity to visit her. And as soon as Our Lady arrived at the home and greeted Elizabeth, the child in her womb leapt for joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Let us read the words of St. Luke for the visitation. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe in her womb leapt. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And how have I deserved that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So Elizabeth, it was revealed to her that Mary was the mother of God, that she had in her womb Almighty God. Elizabeth said, How have I deserved that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So these wonderful words of praise of Our Lady, and what did our Blessed Mother say in response? In her humility, she acknowledged the truth of what God had done to her, but gave him all the credit. She simply said these words, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaid. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he who is mighty has done great things for me. And we, my dear brethren, we fulfill those words. We call her blessed because she truly is blessed among all women, among all human beings by God. All generations shall call me blessed because he who is mighty has done great things to me. And when you think about it, not only is our devotion to our Blessed Mother entirely biblical, but it also is only common sense. Who would not be pleased if his or her mother is treated with kindness, with respect, and praised, etc., and honored? That would make us feel grateful. Our divine Lord is the best of all sons. And certainly he is pleased when his mother is honored. Remember the words of this woman. One day our Lord was preaching, saying these beautiful words that he always said, and a woman from the crowd lifted up her voice and said, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breasts that nursed thee." Blessed is that woman that is your mother. And again, it is only common sense. Our divine Lord certainly is pleased that we honor his mother. Now we go to her that she may intercede for us with her son. There's an interesting story in the Old Testament, chapter 25 of the first book of Kings, about a man named Nabal. Now Nabal was a very wealthy man. He had many, many servants, large flocks of animals and a farm, etc. Was quite wealthy. Now David was an outlaw. Saul, the king, was envious of David, so he was pursuing David to destroy him. And so David had fled. And David had a band of men with him, I think about 400 men. And he was wandering around and he came to the area where this man Nabal lived. And he sent his servants, some of his soldiers, to go and ask him for food for him and the troops, because again, he was very wealthy and they had shown kindness to his shepherds. And Nabal rejected the messengers and spoke insolently about David and refused to help him in his distress. When David heard this word from the messengers, he was quite angry. And he told his soldiers to gird their swords, and he was going to kill this man, Nabal, for his insolence. Now, Nabal's servants overheard this, and they told his wife, whose name was Abigail. They said, "Your husband spoke insultingly about David, and that doesn't sound very good." So Abigail was a very wise woman. She gathered together loaves of bread and supplies, etc., and loaded them up with servants and got on a mule herself and went to meet David. And when she saw him, she got off her mule and bowed down before him and apologized. She said, "My husband is a foolish man. Don't regard what he said. Here are supplies for you and your men, etc." And David praised her and he said, had she not interceded for her insolent husband, there would have been bloodshed that day. So Our Lady is like the wise Abigail. She intercedes for us sinners. We call her in the litany of Our Lady, the refuge of sinners. And we go to her that she might lead us to her divine son. If you want to get something from someone who's able to grant it, you could get someone who's close to that person as a friend to intercede for you. And we see our Blessed Mother doing this in the second chapter of St. John's Gospel, the marriage feast of Cana. She notices that the married couple have run out of wine. There's a much larger gathering, perhaps, of people than they anticipated, and she goes to her son and says, "They have no wine." He knew that she wanted him to work a miracle. He knew that she wanted him to work a miracle. And he told her his hour had not yet come. And yet, he complied with her wish because he can refuse her nothing. She is the best of all mothers. He is the best of all sons. And he cannot refuse her petitions. Imagine the joy that is ours at the end of our lives when we reflect upon all the times we said Hail Marys. And the last words were to Our Lady, "Pray for us poor sinners, now and at the hour of our death." Our Blessed Mother is truly our spiritual mother. Let us honor her today on Mother's Day and throughout this month, and indeed every day of our lives. And let us never think that she could somehow be an obstacle in our path to her divine son. Rather, she leads us to her divine son, for she is the mediatrix of all grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.